amazing how these readings get, I don't know the right word, like more profound. We have this famous speech of Paul at the Areopagus. The Areopagus was the place in, it's still there. In fact, you see, there's the marketplace where the buying and selling and arguing and all that goes on. Then there's the Areopagus where the intellectual things go on. And then there's the temple of Athene. And so Paul is trying to win them over by saying, you know, I see you're very devout. You've got a God for everything. You've got an altar for everything. But as I was walking around, I saw an altar inscribed to an unknown God. That's just playing it safe. We've honored all the gods we can think of, but we might not know one, so we'll just in case, there's another altar there, you see. And so, what you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. That's his, how do you say that in English? Captatio benevolentiae. It's the winning over of goodwill to start your speech. That's what he's doing there, you see. And then he starts to speak of all of this. Huh? And they're listening. A lot of this they've heard before, but not in quite so radical a form. The Jews say there's one God and he created the whole world. Only the Jews say that. And so, at this point anyway. And so, but they're listening. He made everything. You see, in him we live and move and have our being, is what the poet said, you see. Since we are the offspring of God, and we are, aren't we? God made us in his image and likeness. You see? And so, God has overlooked the times of ignorance. And he demands that all people everywhere repent, because he has established a day in which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead. That's too much. You see, after 2,000 years, the memory or the perfume of resurrection is sort of in our minds. Before that time, there was none. You die, you die. And that's that. So that, just go sit down, okay? Any old place you like. There you go. You see, and so it's hard to, recapture the sense of, depression. No matter how great I am, how wealthy I am, how powerful I am, I may be the emperor of the world, but I'm going to die. And that's that. There's no more. And some speculation about whether there's a place where people who die go and all that sort of stuff, but they don't know. So, he has recommended this one to us by raising him from the dead. When they heard that, they said, it's enough. Forget it. And some just began to laugh. Imagine this. This Jew trying to tell us the resurrection from the dead. And so that's when they said, well, we'd like to hear you again on this sometime. They don't want to hear him again on this. They just want to shut him up. Why? Because the notion of a resurrection is too much. It's too much. I can remember, oh my gosh, I'm going back now. I scarce know how many years it is. But I was helping out in the retreat house in the monastery, and a guy came And he didn't believe in God. I don't know what he was doing there. And he was, but he wanted to argue. So we started about 9 o'clock, and we're going and going and going. And finally I said, you know, there's never going to be a moment in your existence which will go on forever when you will not be conscious. Think about that. And that was the verge the Lord gave me, that all of a sudden he looked at things differently. And now he's a Christian. But you see, we're eternal. We're eternal. And death is not the last word. You see, Jesus rose from the dead and will rise from the dead. And that's the whole point. And we look forward to that and to be with God, to have the Trinity, the very principle of our life. One of these days, I should, you know, the Pope John Paul II has that book on the theology of the body, or whatever it's called. And toward the end of it, he's starting to talk about these issues, about resurrection. And there'll never be a moment when we're not conscious. And we're called to be forever with God and with each other forever. And that's why Christ died and rose. But when they got that far, he got that far, they said, yeah, yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, yeah. Well, we'll hear you again sometime. Why? Well, they thought it was ridiculous on one level. But on another level, they were too threatened. That makes me bigger than I am. And I have to think about my life and my existence forever. And I have to live in a way that, you know, being conscious forever will not frighten me. And so that's where that's from. No. But can you imagine him at the very center? It'd be like going up to Harvard Square and talking about the incarnation. God became man? I mean, we know. There's been that myth around for quite a while, but I mean, let's get real. And we know better than that. But the knowing better means what? Despair. We don't want to die. And we know that some of the things that we do in our life are eternal. We know that. To know and to love. And so, that's why that was such a shock to them. They didn't want to hear any more of it. A couple did believe. And they met with him. Among them was Dionysius. I forgot whether they mentioned him today or not. Yes, Dionysius. A member of the court of the Areopagus. He was an intellectual. And something touched him. And so his name has gone down in history. And one of the great theologians, who also his name was Dionysius, sort of always invoked him as his patron. Okay, so I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. It goes for me too. I've got to quit pretty soon here. But when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you to all truth. That is a promise. That's a promise. He will guide you to all truth. In this world to a point, and in the next world forever. You see? He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears. Why? That's the mystery of the Trinity, isn't it? Everything is given and received in the Trinity forever. Incredible love. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. That's what these scriptures are. The Holy Spirit inspired these. And that's how we have these words of Jesus. Well, its Son. We're used to the idea of the resurrection, and even our resurrection. We get scared when we get really sick, maybe die, you know. I hope it's all true. It is true. It is true. God Himself guarantees it by rising from the dead.